This is the Austin Life Church podcast. For more information, please visit us at austinlifechurch.com.
All right. Can y'all think of anybody or times growing up, maybe as you're younger or even still now, that you met some people, you hung with some people so often, so much that eventually, right, you start sounding the same, like start using the same words, or having, like, you can finish each other's sentences. Yep, see, we just spent so much time, you knew where I was going. Didn't lead that at all, right? Can you think of people like that? Yeah? Okay. What about something where you saw a product, the same product, so frequently where at first it was like, this is just a water bottle that says Stanley, but now you're like, I will, like, maim people for this, you know? You ever been influenced towards a product, towards something what's Duck Commander? Is that what you said? Duck Camp. Isn't it the same thing? He hates me right now. Stephen despises my guts. No, that's true. We all have. We've all been. The fact that there are careers where someone's like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a social media influencer. And it's like, what? Right? And they six-figure careers where all they do is just like open up like boxes of toys and like influence you to buy toys or whatever it is. We've all been influenced by either the presence of someone in our lives over, you know, over time repeatedly, or by a product that continues to show up, and you're like, oh yeah, I think I like this now. I think I must have this now. I will go get these shoes or these pants or whatever, right? And that's because you and I as humans are people that are influenced by others, and then naturally we follow the lead of others. We imitate that which we see. You and I are not in and of ourselves an island, but we have influences all around us. The words we say, how we think, how we dress, what we do, has all been influenced by things that we've observed in life, and then that we end up imitating. Some good, some bad, right? I remember the first time, I remember vividly, children, cover your ears. I don't want y'all to know something, right? My kids, your kids, Tyler, you can deal with yours, right? But first time I said a cuss word, right? Molly, that only happened once, right? Was fourth grade. And it was my friend and his older sister that I hung out with all the time. And I eventually wanted to be like, I wanted to fit in, right? And so I eventually observed and I was influenced by it, and then I imitated what they were saying. And I felt weird about it. I knew it was like, this is not what, like, I've been taught, but I was influenced by those around me. Scientists recently, within the last decade or so, neuroscientists to be precise, right? I like to say neuroscientists because it makes you sound immediately smarter. It's like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? Neuroscientists recently, within the last decade or so, have discovered that part of the reason, if not a large part of the reason, that we are influenced by what we observe and then imitate it is because our brains have mirroring neurons. Neurons in our brains that light up, that fire off when we observe and then imitate something. Biologically, we are wired to observe and follow what we observe. It's part of how our brain is designed, which it's interesting that it's only within the last decade or so that they've discovered these mirroring neurons. That's a tough one to say. Mirroring neurons, because it was page one of the Bible where God was like, hey, I'm going to create you in my image to mirror my image. It's wild that the science world is like, oh, look at this discovery. And the Bible's like, hey, been around for a few many thousand years. You and I are created. It is in our biology. If you are alive right now, you are moving somewhere, in a direction somewhere, and there are things around us, people, advertisements, just things that you observe that are influencing the way that you and I go. We are imitating and following the lead of something and someone. Which is why it is so incredibly important to choose wisely what you and I allow, yes, allow, to influence us. And who and what we imitate and follow. As a human being, that is how we are made. We will be influenced. We will imitate and follow the lead of others. And it's incredibly important then to be wise with the people and the influences and the inputs that we are allowing into our lives. Because it's only a matter of time before we will be influenced and imitate what we're seeing, what we're listening to, who we're around. We all know that. We all know that by experience. And this is Paul's point at the end of chapter 3 in Philippians, is to choose wisely, to be influenced by and imitate that which is going to point us and lead us toward Jesus, not away. To choose to input influences into our lives, because whether you want to shut out all kinds of media or you know, television or what, we're still going to be influenced. We're still going to imitate. So we need to choose wisely who we let in our lives and what influences we give authority to in our lives. Paul, he says in Philippians 3:17, brothers, this is just a general term speaking to the church. It's a friendly term, right? So, I mean, his tone throughout Philippians is encouraging, is joyful. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. In Corinthians, Paul would just, this is the definition of what it means to disciple someone. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's the simplest way to say, what does it mean to disciple someone? Hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. Do what I do because I'm doing what Jesus did. Right? So Paul is saying, hey, imitate me. Imitate those who are following my lead, who are going in the same direction. Verse 18, for there are many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. God, these are your words. They are living and active because you are alive. You're speaking them to us today. May we not read these just as a textbook or history, but may we read these words knowing that you right now are communicating to us for our good and for the good of those around us and for your glory. And so, God, open our ears to hear and hearts to believe. And Jesus, we ask you. In the previous verses, right, we talked about last week, some of my favorite verses in the scripture. Paul has just shared his personal testimony, his story of how he came to trust Christ. Right, in verse 7, you see a turn, right? He's talking about his life before Christ, and he says, now, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul has concluded. He's weighed everything in the scales, right? And he's put Jesus on this side of the scale and everything else on this side, and he looks at it and it just tips up. And he says, everything else compared to knowing Christ is rubbish. Right? And he's not minimizing other things. He's planting churches. He's a tent maker, right? He's got family and friends. He's just looking at all of it, and he's going, man, whether it's good or not, it's all compared to knowing Jesus. It's secondary, in a distant second. To know Jesus and to be like him is everything. Now think about this, right? What caused such a change in Paul's life? He's over 30 years old, most likely, when he has that Acts 9 experience with Jesus. That's 30 years of being raised in a household that taught him the same way over and over and over. He was a Pharisee. Remember, we talked about this. He had the entire Old Testament memorized by the time he was mid-teens. Dude was locked in to being influenced of the ways of Judaism. And to believe that, okay, I must believe in God and obey him, and that's what makes me right with God. And so he believed, I'm blameless before God. I'm good. I go to church, I serve, I give, I do all the things that a good person should do, and I believe in the one true God. I'm set. And then in Acts 9, he comes face to face with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and he sees what true blamelessness looks like. And he goes, oh, if that's the metric, if Jesus is the metric of blamelessness, I'm well short of the goal. And he knew in that instance, I deserve condemnation before God. I don't deserve to be in the presence of holy righteousness, of true blamelessness. But rather than condemnation, Jesus came to bring forgiveness and new life. Have you ever encountered that moment where you know you're in the wrong? And the person that has every right to be angry with you and to judge you and to condemn you instead just welcomes you in and says, come on, let's work through this together. That grace, that kindness, that forgiveness on an eternal scale. And Paul is stunned at that grace. Stunned at the kindness that God has for him, that rather than coming with condemnation, Jesus came for him in love, moved near in love and forgiveness, gave his life so that Paul, the sinner, could be forgiven and set free. And Paul says, there's nothing more valuable than that. I've tried, I've sought other things, and they all pale in comparison to knowing Jesus. Listen, let's just pause for a second. Because if you've been in this church for any length of time, you've heard this same message every single week. If you were raised in a Christian home, you've heard this same message every single week. What is that message? You and I are just as guilty as Paul. We've sinned and we've walked away from God, and God could have come at us with condemnation, but instead he moved near towards us with love in the person of Jesus, his only son, who came and lived the perfect life that you and I failed from day one, who died on the cross for our sins, our guilt, and rose from the dead, so that if we trust him, if we really believe he is the Son of God, he will take our sins, our record of sin, and give us his record of righteousness, thus making us acceptable before a holy God. Not on our works, on his work. Right? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And if you're like me, you've heard that hundreds, thousands of times. But we cannot leave from the reality that that is the value that Paul saw and is of greater worth than anything else, is that grace and that kindness. Paul would say in Philippians 12, right, oh, now because I press on to make him my own, I relentlessly and intentionally pursue Jesus. I want to know him, I want to know him, I want to know him. Everything takes a back seat and I run after Jesus. What is compelling Paul to do that? Grace. What's going to compel you and I to continue to follow after Jesus 10 years in, 15 years in, 20 years in, when it's kind of dull, when life is hard, when there's all kind of temptations? What's going to keep us moving? Grace. The fact that Jesus loves us. When he didn't have to, he shouldn't have. And yet he did and does and will. We cannot move on from that. The rest of the sermon, the rest of the Bible, everything, it, it, It doesn't make sense without starting there. You are deeply loved more than you will ever be able to humanly comprehend. And that is the fuel, the only fuel that can sustain us to continue to press on after Jesus. Don't you dare believe the lies that the devil says you're not worthy. You're worthy because Jesus says you are. And he's come to rescue us, just like he did Paul. Therefore, we press on to know him. Therefore, we intentionally and relentlessly forget what lies behind, and we strain forward at all costs to know him. Nothing is greater. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your soul? Do you believe that? I'm not asking, do you feel it right now? Are you having a good day or a bad day, a good week or a bad week? Like, do you truly in your soul believe the truth of Jesus? If not, the same invitation given to Paul is given to you. Right now, Paul was just on a dirty road. Wasn't anything fancy about where he was. And he trusted Christ. If you have trusted Christ, the invitation is the same. Let's press on and run after him. There is nothing better that you will ever grab hold of in this life than Jesus. Now, here's the thing. If that's what you want, if you want to know Christ and make him your own and know him more and more and more and more and more, then you must choose wisely what influences you put in your life and who and what you imitate. Because at every given moment, there are those that will point you to Jesus, or there are people, enemies of the cross, that will lead you away. At every given moment, everything will help you move toward Jesus, or will take you further away. Some of them, you're like, okay, yeah, that one's clear and obvious. But some of them, maybe they're just going to take you a little bit off track, but you're still adding distance between you and Jesus. And so we've got to ask, this is what Paul says in verse 17, imitate me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. What is that example? Pressing on after Jesus. Intentionally and relentlessly pursuing him. That's who we imitate. That's who we put in our lives to influence us, are those pressing on after Jesus. There are many, Paul says, who are enemies of the cross. Enemies doesn't just have to be like, there's some, you're like, oh gosh, those are enemies of the cross. They hate Jesus. They will literally murder Christians. And we're like, those are enemies of the cross. It's a broader term. Many are those moving you away from Jesus. Many are the influences that will steer you off course. Doesn't just have to be like violent, hostile, but there are just many influences and people that we can imitate that will subtly just steer us off course. If my goal is to go to Tommy straight in the back, and let's say he's a mile away, and I just go and now head that way, well, that doesn't look that far if I'm just going this far, but if he's a mile away, right, that distance grows and grows and grows and grows. And Paul's pleading with us, okay, if you want to run after Jesus, be wise. Because you are being influenced and you are imitating others. Be wise with who that is. Okay, so who are some of the people that are enemies of the cross, Paul says? What are some of those influences that will lead us away? He says tearfully, at the beginning of verse 19, their end is destruction. Tearfully, Paul says, these enemies of the cross, those ones that aren't moving toward Jesus, that the end for them is destruction. What they will get at the end of their journey is not life. The word end is talking about what's not their goal. It's not like they sat down in 2024 and they were like, what do I want for 2024? Oh, I know what I want. Destruction, right? Like, it's not that's their goal. That's what they're after. It's like, no, they could even be just seeming like not even thinking through it. But in the end, if they've not trusted and followed Jesus, their end is destruction. They could be really good and moral people. But if they're not following Jesus, the end result is destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that legitimately seems right. They're not like, I want to trick you, No, they literally think it's good and it's right. It could be morally upright people, morally better people than you and me, but their end is death and destruction, separation from God. For any that aren't following Jesus, that's the end. Now, do we care about that? Well, I think I've told you this before. There's a comedian duo, Penn and Teller, right? Anybody familiar with that? I want to make sure I'm saying the names right. I got a nod, yes? Okay, Penn and Teller, thank you so much, Stephen. And there's a YouTube video. If you go and just search YouTube, Penn and Teller, someone shares Jesus, gives them a Bible. I don't know, keywords, right? And so one of the two is kind of recording this video, and he's like, hey, I'm an atheist, and after my show, like, someone came up to me and gave me a Bible and just said, like, hey, I just want you to have this, right? And he's like, I don't believe anything of it, whatever, like, that's your thing. He says, but here's the funny thing I think about Christians. He says, if you really believe what the Bible says, which is my end is eternal destruction, how much do you have to hate me to not come and tell me? It's like, shoot. Right, if we really believe tearfully that our family members, and like I'm getting convicted right now thinking about it, right? My family members and my friends and my neighbors, their end is destruction. How much do I have to hate them to not say, let me tell you. And Paul is tearful. He's like, man, they don't even see it. Their end is destruction because they're not following Jesus. He goes on and he says, their God is their belly. He's not talking about like their stomach's grumbling and they're hungry and they just want to eat. He's talking about their own internal selfish appetite, their personal appetite. What their God is, what matters most to them, what they worship and what they love is their own personal appetite, their selfish ambition. No one is going to tell me what to do or how to live or where to go or who to be with. I am in charge of my life. This is the heartbeat, I believe, of Austin. Individual autonomy. You do you, but don't tell me how to do me. I'll live my life. I'll call my shots. I'm a well-to-do, educated person. I can make my own decisions. Their God is their personal selfish appetite. It's my money. No one's going to tell me how to spend it, where to give it, what to do with it. It's my body. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with it. I get to call the shots for my body. No one's going to tell me how much to eat or drink or not eat or not drink. I'll do it as much as I want, whenever I want. It's my time. It's my calendar. No one's going to tell me how to spend my time or where to spend it. It's my life. I will do with my life as I see fit. That is the voice of someone whose God is their belly, whose God is their own longings and desires. They call the shots in their life. Paul says, be wise. Don't imitate that life. It will lead to destruction. It's not that we shouldn't love people like that. We'd have to get rid of we love people like that, but they can't be our influence. They can't be the people that have influence in our life that we let into the depths of who we are, because their North Star is not as north. It's pointing a different direction. And so their advice is going to lead a different direction. And Paul says, don't let them influence you. Don't imitate those whose God is their belly. They call their own shots. The next one he says is, don't imitate those whose glory, who glory in their shame. The word glory is to boast in or to celebrate. And the word shame is something that is sinful, morally wrong. And he says, don't let people influence you. Don't imitate those who boast in and celebrate their sin, who exalt something that is not of God. Don't let them influence you. So much of what is out there today is exalting sin. TV, songs, movies, right? What is it exalting? I don't even have to ask. I guarantee you, you're going to say sex, money, power, greed. So much of the media that we input builds its platform and influence on sin, on celebrating and singing about their wild accomplishments that are not at all close to godly. So much of the reels, the viral videos that spread wide, right, that rarely are you like, oh my gosh, that was so encouraging and uplifting. I love Jesus more because of this video. Yes, it happens, but the ones that are like just viral, man, they're making fun of somebody. They're lifting themselves up by pushing someone else down. They're right, and that's what's influencing us. That's what's telling us how to treat people and how to think about people. So many of the stories that we lean into and we want to get all caught up in and laugh about are just, let me tell you about my drunken escapade. I don't even remember what happened. It was so wild. And you're like, man, are we glorying in our shame? Hebrews says it was that Jesus on the cross endured our shame. It was our shameful acts that put Jesus on the cross. Are we going to celebrate that? Are we going to glory in something that Jesus went to the cross for? And yet it's everywhere. And Paul's like, don't be influenced by it. Don't let that, don't follow its lead. Don't try to fit in because that's what everybody's doing. It will lead to destruction. Our sin should grieve us. We shouldn't want to let it near. We shouldn't want to boast about it. It put Jesus on the cross. And Paul's like, oh, gosh. Don't be influenced by those voices that glory in their shame. Yeah, the majority of the people around you, that's where they are, but don't do it. And he says their minds are set on earthly things. They think about, they look at, they're fixated on this world, this life, building their kingdom. Everything is through the lens of how they exalt and build their kingdom. Famous quote, don't know who it comes from, I don't know if anyone knows where it came from, but it's just, what we think about, we become. What we think about, set our minds on, we become. Let's go back to our neuroscientists again, right? Double dip in the neuro world. When we think about something, we are fundamentally forming our brain, literally building our brain around those thoughts, creating neural pathways through our brain that create a way for our brain to fire synapses. I've just discredited all my neuroscience information. It's like a path in the grass, right? We've talked about this before. If you walk up to a field and it's all knee high, but oh, whoa, there's a path that's trotted down. Where are you going to walk? Down the path. Naturally. You don't even think about it. It's so subconscious. You can be, I saw this at campus one day. We were doing a move-in thing, right? And there's like a sidewalk that makes a right angle. But you know, students are efficient, right? They're smart. They're real efficient. And so they get right here, and they're like, no, let's cut right here, right? And so they cut off like 4 feet of walking. But there's a path in the grass. 100% of people, guess where they go? The path, they don't even think about it. They don't even think about going to the edge of the sidewalk and hanging right. They're like, no, you got to go down the hypotenuse. You know? Pythagoras? Yeah, you know. You know what I'm talking about. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Go down C. Gosh, I'm off the rails right now. Rein it in. So what we think about, right? I was thinking this last Sunday. I was sitting there, and I was like, you know why it's so important that we come here and we participate and we sing and we sing robustly? Because what we're doing is we're literally forming our brains in that moment. We are shaping how our brains will think and see the world. And if we're not being shaped here by truth, we are being shaped by something else. We are being influenced by something else, and it is fundamentally forming the men and women that we are becoming. That's why if you don't want to be here, get here anyways, because it is forming you. Otherwise, and we talked about, talked about this in discipleship group this week, right? So many of the things we choose are forming us to be selfish people. Right? It's like, oh, I'm just choosing, you're like, it's okay, I'm just choosing that. No, it is teaching our brains to think selfishly. And it's creating a pathway that we naturally go down without even thinking about it. And Paul says, people that will lead to destruction, they're forming a pathway to that. They don't even realize. They're just forming that in their souls, in their minds, because they're thinking about the things of this world. How do I get mine? How do I build my own kingdom? Conversely, though, Paul says, those who are following after Jesus, right, the next words, their citizenship is in heaven. Their identity, where they belong, is in heaven. They're living today for tomorrow. They're making decisions today with their minds on how it affects eternity. They're investing their life and their energy and their time and their thoughts and everything in a future reward. What's a 401k? Right? Some of you may be like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what a 401k is. Who knows, right? It's where you take some money today and you don't spend it. You go stick it over here so that you can spend it tomorrow, right? So that you can live tomorrow. It's living today for tomorrow. It's living in Sunday with 2064 in mind, right? And that's what Paul is saying, is that those who want to follow are living today in 2024 with eternity in mind. They're thinking, how does my investment of time today have an ROI in heaven? How does my export today import into the kingdom of God and not just this world? They have their citizenship in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, I mean, Jesus speaks of this frequently. He's talking in a passage about worrying, right? Anybody ever worry? Cool. Okay. Great. I saw some. Me too. It is a work in progress for me. Praise God, right? Paul said it last week. Hey, I haven't arrived yet. Just a work in progress. We're in good company. We're all a work in progress. One step at a time, all right? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Jesus is about to talk about not being anxious. So what does he say about not being anxious in this life? Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's being a citizen in heaven. Right? It may not make financial sense for you to give your money to someone who's hungry. That may not net a great ROI in your bank account here. But somehow, some way, that is affecting the economy of the kingdom of God for eternity. That's a better ROI, right? Your return on investment here has an end date. Somehow, some way, when we invest in the kingdom of God, it doesn't end, right? Go ask your financial advisor, hey, should I invest in something that will pay me for 5 years or eternity? And they'll be like, well, if you really need me to answer that question, we need to go back to step one. Jesus is like, no, look for people that are investing in the next life, that are willing to spend their days here for an investment tomorrow. Look for people that care more about God's approval than man's approval. Look for people that want to stand before God one day and hear, well done. And care less about the well done of the people around them. Look for people who are more concerned with obeying the commands of God than the ways of the world. Look for people who are making decisions today with the thought of how it affects eternity. Those are the kind of people we want to follow. Those are the kind of people we want to surround our AirPods with, or our Reels with, or whatever inputs we have. Those are the kind of influences we want in our lives. Because they're pointing us to Jesus, to truth. And he says, then look for people who are awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who we don't want to follow are those whose gods are their belly. We want to follow people whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to follow people. We don't want to follow people who say, no one's going to tell me what to do or how to live my life. We want to follow people who will say, Jesus gets to tell me every which way I live my life. How are you spending your money? I don't know. Let me ask Jesus. What does God say? How are you spending your time? I don't know. Let me see what God says. How are you treating your husband or wife? I don't know. Let me see what God says. We want to follow people who will humbly submit their lives to the lordship of Jesus. We don't want to follow the lead of people who will read the scriptures and figure out how to justify and rationalize their way around God's commands. We want to follow people who will say, he tells me not to grumble. Like, that's a straight command. I guess I need to work on figuring out how to live without grumbling. Not call it venting. We want to look for people to influence our lives, and we want to imitate people who will joyfully and gladly submit their lives. They're waiting for their Lord Jesus Christ, and they're ready for him to return. He's not going to return and find them in a vulnerable place where they're embarrassed. Their gods are not themselves, their personal ambitions. Their God is Jesus. He calls the shot. He is the king. And they're eagerly looking for and awaiting his return. Those are the kind of people we want to put in our lives. We're going to look and imitate people whose confidence is in the Lord's transformation. They're confident in the promises of God. He's going to transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's a life of faith. That's a life that looks and says, he's got my future. I don't have to worry. We want to be imitators of those who live by faith, who trust that his purpose is good, that his promises are true, and that he will do what he said. Not people who try to figure out things on their own. Not people who try to figure out life in their own systems and their own ways, but they trust the promises of God. I don't have to go and manipulate my life and control it on my own. I can surrender control to him. His promises are true. He's going to transform me. He's going to return. He's going to raise me up. We want to look to people who live by faith, not by sight. Paul, he says, be imitators of me as I'm imitating Christ. Don't imitate those who are enemies of the cross, those who are moving away from Jesus. At every given moment, right now, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, there is a spiritual enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy not only your soul, but your joy in Christ. Fix your eyes on things above. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And allow influences and leaders that you can follow who will lead you to Christ and not away. There's nothing of more value than knowing Jesus and becoming like him. There's nothing. But we have to choose wisely, because we are people who are being formed by the influences and the leaders around us. So we got to choose wisely who we let influence us who we imitate. They're either going to lead us toward Jesus or away. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. May we be the people that choose life, choose Jesus. All right.
Thanks for tuning in to the Austin Life Church podcast. To help support us, please take a second to rate and review us on iTunes and visit us at austinlifechurch.com.